It was just noted that we had the real angel Gabriel up there. It was a first ever appearance this year's 2017. So don't ever miss the drive through. You don't know who will show up. You could have a true angelic visitation. Oh boy. Somebody's been praying for a white Christmas. Just part of all the preparation and anticipation for Christmas. It's coming. A lot of preparations going on. As a matter of fact, in Australia, a few years ago, they did a study on how much time women take to prepare for Christmas. And men. For women, it was about a full week. For men, on average, it was about 4 hours. And for many, about 1 hour. I suppose you could conclude that speaks to the efficiency of men. If you were trying to come to any conclusions or if data mattered to you at all, whatever. To be safe, I'm not going to come to any conclusions, because actually this week I came home and it was obvious there was some Christmas preparation that had happened, because I walked in and I was just inundated with the most amazing odor. And I walked to the counter and just out of the oven was pulled this amazing pan of caramel rolls. They were warm, just out of the oven. You know, I had one. And then I had another. And then I'm not going to like fully confess here, but you know, let's just say that in the for me, a really good maple bar used to be my biggest food temptation. But these caramel rolls ate maple bars for lunch. Let me just tell you, these things were amazing. And my wife was preparing. It's all those kinds of things that are happening this time of year. Such a great, great time of year, because people are investing in important relationships. And really, we're going to discover some of the great meaning behind Christmas as we go through the message. But first, I want to share another story. And it's about a mother who was preparing tirelessly for Christmas. Roasting, scrubbing, shopping, and wrapping presents. Her young daughter, electrified by the extravagances around her, was misbehaving. So wrapped up in Christmas festivities, this mother had reached her wit's end. The mother lost her temper and sent the daughter to her room. After a while, the mother felt remorse over her harshness. Peeking into her daughter's room, she heard her daughter say this prayer: "And forgive us our Christmases as we forgive those who Christmas against us." Sometimes we get Christmas wrong. To help us try to get it right, the title of the message this morning is, "Why Did Christmas Have to Happen?" Why did Christmas have to happen? Now, many of you aren't thinking Christmas is a have to, but why did Christmas have to happen? Let's look at the answer. Hebrews 2, verse 14. Because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die. And only by dying could he break the power of the devil, who had the power of death. Only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. Therefore, it was necessary for him to be made in every respect like us, his brothers and sisters, so that he could be our merciful and faithful high priest before God. since he himself has gone through suffering and testing, which means temptation, he is able to help us when we are being tested or tempted. Why did Christmas have to happen? Well, in verses 14 and 15, we learn four reasons. One, we're human, so he became human. This is actually called the what? What's this called? The incarnation. At Christmas, we have the incarnate deity. We sing about that. The incarnate deity. The human God baby. The infinite infant. We're human, so he became human. So two, another reason is so the Easter could happen. If Christmas didn't happen, we wouldn't have Easter, the death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and eventual sending of the Holy Spirit to indwell us and walk with us every step of life. Matter of fact, in our drive-through nativity, we have a beautiful depiction of this, of Christmas, so that Easter could happen. It's the star. Look at that. Guess what that star, the star of Bethlehem, representing the birth of Christ, is hanging on? The cross. If you look closely, you'll see the cross. Christmas came so that Easter could happen. That was Pastor Joe's idea. I think it's rather prophetic and a great blending of the two great holy days of Christianity. It's beautiful. Third reason that Christmas had to happen is to break the power of the devil. It says, so he could break the power of the devil who had the power of death, which leads us to the fourth reason, to free us from slavery to the fear of dying. The fear of dying, the devil's number one weapon. If he can get you to fear that your entire life, up until the day you die, then you'll live in fear your entire life. But Christmas happened. Jesus came so that we could be freed from slavery to the fear of dying. All of this is a fulfillment of a proclamation that was actually made all the way back in Genesis 3:15. And this proclamation was actually made to the devil. And it's actually also the first announcement of Christmas. Let's take a look. Genesis 3:15. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He, the offspring of the woman, will crush your head. That's a mind-blowing thought. Anyway. He, the offspring of the woman, will crush your head, and you, devil, will strike his heel. Many consider this verse the protoevangelium, the first announcement of the gospel. This is the first prophecy about the Messiah, Christ, who came and rescued his creation from the tyranny of sin, death, and darkness. It's the first announcement of Christmas, so that at the cross, when Jesus is giving his life for us, and Satan thinks he has won the greatest victory of all time, whereas in reality he just experienced a head-crushing defeat. So when he comes to us, and when he comes to you and lies to you to get you to fear death, simply remind him that he is defeated and tell him to get beneath defeat. Where he belongs. And then you can sing. My hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. All my hopes and all my fears are met in thee tonight. Some of you may be asking, but why did he have to come as a baby? Why couldn't he have come as an adult? Some Thor-like Marvel creature, you know, to come and die for us and rescue us from our sin. Why couldn't that have happened? Why a baby? That's a good question. In other words, why did Christmas have to happen? Why couldn't he have come just before Easter? See if you can find the answers. I read these scriptures in Hebrews 2 and 4. So back to Hebrews 2, verse 18. Since he himself has gone through suffering and testing or temptation, he is able to help us when we are being tested or tempted. Hebrews 4, 15 and 16. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The answer to why did Christmas have to happen is he came as an infinite Christmas to sympathize with those he came for. Thank you, Lord. The definition of sympathy, to be affected with the same feeling as another, to sympathize with, to feel for, to have compassion on. Because of Christmas, Jesus can say, I get you. I understand you. I can relate. We have to use many words in English to accurately describe all that is going on here when it says that Jesus sympathizes with our weaknesses. It takes these four words. Let's just take a look at these four words to define what it means for Jesus to sympathize with us. It includes pity. I acknowledge your suffering. Sympathy. I care about your suffering. It includes empathy. I feel your suffering. And then compassion. I want to relieve your suffering. That's how our God has engaged with us. Path of engagement. He didn't stop at pity, just acknowledging our suffering. He didn't just stop at sympathy. I care about your suffering. He didn't just stop at empathy. I feel your suffering. But he came to relieve us of our suffering in great compassion on us. Thank you, Lord. But all of those things are involved. I think it's such a complex idea, this idea of God sympathizing with our weaknesses and doing something about it. The main reason we know that God can be trusted in the midst of our suffering is that God has firsthand experience with suffering. Instead of explaining suffering, he shares it. It takes away the most glaring criticism that could be said of God. You're way up there. You don't understand what it's like to suffer. Look how far he was willing to come down in order to show us that he understands. Because he came as a baby at Christmas, he can relate to us in every way. He went through the whole awkward growing up process. He was a toddler, a preteen, and he suffered through puberty. He had to wait 30 years to begin his ministry. I mean, at age 12, he was confounding the scholars in the temple. He had another 18 years to go. Jesus can sympathize because he lived the realities of life, including being tempted in every respect as we are. That literally means, when you study it out, it literally means in every way, in all ways. Even though times have changed, temptation and sin still falls into three main categories. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. He was tempted with all three. He understands and can sympathize with our weaknesses and the difficulties that we go through. Jesus did not learn about suffering the way that God knows everything about everything already. He learned it by experience. Listen to see if you find yourself or some part of yourself in any of these following questions. Have you ever been betrayed? He has. Have you ever been wrongly accused? He has. Have people ever gossiped about you? They did about him. Have you ever suffered physical pain? He sure did. Are your family roots a little sketch? His were. Have you ever been in physical need? He was. Have you ever felt lonely? He understands. Have you ever suffered loss? He can relate. Have you ever been afraid? He knows. Have you ever felt that you've reached the bottom and there's no way up? He understands. Run to him. Jesus was fully human like you and I. He knows how mean people can be. He knows how rough life can get. He understands your struggles. Come to him. He's our sympathetic Savior. Christmas happened so that we would know we can always run to God who understands. It's true that he did not sin and needed no sacrifice for his own sins, but he was tempted more severely than any other person because the devil pulled out all the stops on him. And it is only the one who resists to the end that knows the full weight of any temptation. When we just give in, we don't experience the full weight of it. Not until the end of, till it's over, till temptation's gone and we haven't given in. That's when we experience the full weight. How did he get through temptation without sinning? As I read this, notice the intensity of his emotions as I read this. Hebrews 5, 7 and 8. While Jesus was here on earth, he offered prayers and pleadings with a loud cry and tears to the one who could rescue him from death. And God heard his prayers because of his deep reverence for God. Even though Jesus was God's son, he learned obedience from the things he suffered. What does that mean? I've had a hard time with that at times, just understanding. What does that mean? He learned obedience through the things he suffered. Some of you probably got it a lot quicker than I did. But what does that mean? Well, think of a situation that happened this month, maybe this week, you know, maybe even this morning, where you're presented with two options, this one or that one. Doing what God wanted or doing what your flesh wanted. Two options. Doing what God wanted, doing what your flesh wanted. Presented with this. Picture it. Think about it. Think of a specific situation. The painful experience of saying no to your flesh and yes to God is what is meant by this word suffering, this word suffering that Jesus experienced. He felt it. He learned to say, "Thy will be done," when the will of God was the way of the cross. It was a tangible suffering that he experienced to say no to the flesh that wanted to escape the pain. And he did that for us. But how did he do it? What's the scripture say? How did he do it? What helped him to choose rightly? What did he do? What does it say? What did he do? What? He prayed. He pleaded. And it says he cried out. He made a loud cry. He cried out. And there were even tears involved. He cried out. He cried out. What did he do? He cried out. He cried out. Okay. So I need some help here. I'm looking for a young person. Okay, Liam, you volunteered. All right, come up here, Liam. All right. Leo, I just got a wonderful Christmas decoration evergreen thing that Liam sold us. It was awesome. He's just a great guy. So Liam, what did Jesus do when he was going through that temptation and he was needing to decide between choosing his Father's will or obeying the flesh? What did he do?
Prayed.
He prayed and he cried out, didn't he? Cried out. That's the right answer. All right. What did he do?
He cried out.
He cried out. He cried out. It's a good answer. And so what do you think he wants us to do? He wants us to cry out. And usually when we cry out, what do we say? Help! What do we say?
Help!
That's really good. Okay, that was a good first try. Okay, let's do it one more time. Just a little more, just from the gut, from the inside there. So what do we say?
Help!
Help! Okay, that was good. There, thanks, Liam. All right, thank you. He cried out. We cry out. We say, help! Remember the answer, Liam. I'm going to ask you a little bit later. The right answer will be help. All right? So just, okay, great. I'm an easy teacher. I'm easy. Give you the answer to the test. So, in answer to his crying out for help, he was enabled to bear his trial just as he will enable us to bear ours. Because we have a high priest who can sympathize with us. Jesus knows how to deliver us from temptation, having been delivered himself. He knows how to help us. He walked it in reality. So when we say help, we're saying it to somebody that knows how to help. He wants us to confidently go before his throne of grace. Why confident? Because we know we're going where we're going to get help. That we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I so love that he commands us to do that. He commands us to run to the throne of grace, to find mercy and grace in our time of need. Now, that's a God that understands what we need, grace and mercy. What did Jesus do in his time of need? He cried out. What should we do? Cry out. Liam, what should we say? Help! So whether our problems are external, like health problems, I mean, realities of life, right? Health problems, lack of finances, job difficulties, strained relationships. Relationships are hard. Things like figuring out parenting or figuring out your parents. We have a sympathetic Savior who understands and can help. Cry out to Him. He gets it. In the Christmas story, we see the sympathetic nature of Jesus as He intentionally, I just love this. He intentionally came to earth in as lowly manner as possible. If you like cheering for the underdog, well, he slept in the underdog's feeding trough. That's how he came. There are an incredible number of examples of how intentional he was in his lowly arrival. One example is the first people outside of the immediate family. These are the first people to whom God gave the birth announcement that his son had been born. Here's Father God commissioning the angelic host to come and give, you know, as only God can, right? I mean, to give the birth announcement in a heavenly style, right? Who does he give that birth announcement to? Who were they?
The shepherds.
Yeah, Jason knows that. He was one in the drive-thru. You're right. It was the shepherds. Guess what the shepherds were never allowed to do? Worship in the temple. Why? Because shepherds were always walking around in sheep doo-doo. They were touching dead animals. They were always ceremonially unclean, according to Jewish law. So they were never allowed to worship in the temple, and therefore occupied the lowest rung on the social ladder of the day. They couldn't even go to get their sins forgiven there at the temple. That's how low they were. They were the untouchables of their society. That's who God chose to give the birth announcement of His Son to. Shocking. Why them? You know, why not the dignitaries of Bethlehem? Because that's not how God does things. Jesus came down to earth as low as possible so that everyone would know they are included. There is no one outside His reach because He reached as low as possible. One very interesting note about the shepherds in the fields around Bethlehem is that the lambs they raised were the ones used for temple sacrifices. So how special for those shepherds to receive the announcement that the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world was now born. So there was even more intentionality. Whenever the underdog wins or is given the advantage, we love it. I love it. Anybody else love it? We love it because it is so unexpected. It catches us by surprise. This is the intriguing beauty of Christmas. So much coming in such an unexpected way. This tension of the infant. Recently, I experienced amazingly beautiful talent and shocking creativity coming from an unexpected little source. And I want to share it with you. Watch this clip from 60 Minutes. This is Alma Deutscher. Those four notes that are sitting there on the piano were just picked out of a hat. Four notes just randomly picked out of a hat. She's now thinking about a melody. She's composing. Watch this. This is her third movement of her violin concerto that she wrote. This is age 9. She wrote this. Age 9.